Blog Talk Radio.
YouTube space.
I'm a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few. My God, reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you with us here today. It is Sunday morning, a beautiful Sunday morning in North Dakota. I hope you're having the same kind of beautiful Sunday morning as we're having here, because it is a balmy 42 degrees today. There ain't nothing balmy about 42. Hey, Christine Barkley, welcome. Good to have you with us today. All my friends on my own personal Facebook page, welcome. Glad to have you with us today. I always like to come over here on Sunday and hang out with all y'all, because y'all are fun to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And, Sundays, we call it an hour of faith. Did you get a notification from my page? Really? I'm trying to find it. But it's all right whether I got it or not. I know how to find me. Give me a second. I got to get caught up to you. Because Facebook don't know how to be live like the other. There we go. Christine Barkley. Sister Leanne Cottle's with us. That's wonderful. Good to have her.
Good morning, everyone.
Everybody that's here, if you would, click like, love, smile, let's fight, or let us know you're here. We'd be glad to see you here. Just want to let you know that every time we come on here, do our best of our ability. We'll not only be here, but also on YouTube. So you can find us on the big screen TV. If you got a smart one. Now, if you got a dumb big screen TV, man, get a smart one. There's too many dumb things in this world not to have a smart TV.
Amen.
So, good morning to y'all. And hope you're having a good spring. Can you believe it? Harun Masih, all the way from Pakistan.
Wow.
That's awesome, man.
Good morning.
That is awesome to see you here, brother. May God bless you. God bless Pakistan. God's doing something big in Pakistan. I'm telling you right now. There's a lot of believing because God's doing big things there. Yeah. We have Brother Tim that's with us all the time on the program. He's from Karachi. I don't remember. Brother Harun, what city are you in? Now, you might say, how can we have five preachers all from Karachi and on the same program being different preachers? Because Karachi has 22 million people in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, we need not only need Brother Harun and Brother Tambir to be there, 22 million people. We need about another, 10,000 preachers to reach 22 million? In one city. In one city. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak over Christine Barkley. This is a no. No migraine. This is the opposition of the enemy to stop beautiful Sunday. We say no to migraines. No, no, no. Anybody that wakes up with a migraine, you got to know this. That's a sign of something out of order. And the bottom line is, it don't matter what it is. It does not matter what it is out of order. Jesus has given us his word. He puts everything in order in our lives. Everything. Say it with me. Absolutely everything.
Absolutely.
So we call order into your life, Sister Christine.
Amen.
And we bless you. And we bless your life. We bless your Christian life. And the understanding to see it all and to understand it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Dan and Gwen's with us. God bless you guys. All the way from Central Michigan. Right in the center of the state where the fire starts. And then it burns out. That's what they said. That's what people after people after people saw in a vision was going to happen. So, all of you on my personal Facebook page, hang out with us for an hour. Come talk to us. Ask us a question. You know, I can hear somebody say, yeah, but you're always just going to preach at us for an hour. Nope, never going to preach at anybody. Nope, I am a preacher. And I do preach, but I'll never preach at you. Because every one of us are in the same position in our relationship with Almighty God. Where we're growing and we're developing with him. Every single one of us are in that position. And I'm going to tell you right now. You ready for this? God, Almighty, our Father, is the one that's helping you to be established in him.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
He's not freaked out about you right now where you are. He's not. In any sense of the word, he's not freaked out. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what happened this week. It doesn't matter what happened this week. Put it under the blood. Tell God, I'm going and growing with you. I'm serious. Very serious. Now, this morning, I wanted to be out on a hill somewhere doing the same thing. And I don't know why. That's just my desire to be out there doing that and to be enjoying God and his wonderful nature world with you, seeing the things. We have a favorite place we go on the top of the hill down in the national park. Where the buffaloes roam. And I think it'd be really cool to be set up out there one day and just have the buffaloes roaming in the back behind us. The only challenge with that is they move real fast. And you see me with the camera running across the prairie. It's a good thing. So we welcome you. We call this an hour of faith because every time we come here, we're going to talk about faith. Because faith is the very, very absolute center and focus of everything in our lives. It's just the focus of our lives. And Jesus has told us, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, we've added a new verse to our communion time, and we're going to use it a little bit later. But the word that God has given me for this day is, we are ordained to be with the Father. Said,
I'm ordained
by the Father to be with the Father. That's amazing. I'm ordained by the Father to be with the Father. All of a sudden, you look at it and you say, that's a pretty big situation, Pastor. Well, guess what? There we go. We're going to get into it, and we're going to help you see that that ordination is absolutely perfect in all of its ways. And our Father, who's the one that ordained you, is with you every single day to bring the ordination to pass. You don't ever have to get worried and all bent out of shape about it. Isn't that a beautiful thing for our lives every day? All right. Well, here we go. Let's pray, and we'll get started today. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the wonderful believers that you bring across our path. I thank you for all of my friends who at one point will hear this message today, tomorrow, the next day. They'll run across it in their notification and say, wonder what the preacher's talking about today. And Lord, may they see and know and understand that I am talking that you, Father, want them to be in a perfect relationship with you. Not with religion, not with church, not with churchianity, with you. You want them. You want them to totally understand you and all of this wonderful universe that you've given us to be in. And you want them to understand that and live in it and absolutely enjoy it every single day of their life. Here we are again today, bringing that to pass. All these wonderful people in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen and amen and amen. Now, here's how it works here. If you're listening and I give a reference from the Bible, help us by typing it in the comments. Wait, you might say, Pastor, it'll be in there 10 times. It doesn't matter. Because we don't know the next time somebody's watching this that they'll look up and say, wait, what was that reference? And you want it to be right there on a replay. What's that mean? That means everybody's effort here is welcome. Listen.
Amen.
And is important.
Yes.
Say it with me. Welcome.
Welcome.
And important.
And important.
I need you to be a part of what we're doing right here today. Now, isn't that something? Brother Tanvir, I'm not sure where he is. Oh, he said he's going out to preach or something. I'm not sure where Brother Tanvir is completely today, but I know this. What an interesting thing that Brother Harun Masih is here today with us, all the way from Pakistan. You know what that means? It's night there.
Oh, yeah.
They're like 11 hours ahead of us. And here we go. First verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Look at this verse. And then we're going to spend this whole time pretty much just reading the word, because you got to see the stories to get the message. Say it. I'm ordained to be with him.
I'm ordained to be with him.
Brother Tim Cross, Pastor Tim Cross, in the conference this week made a declaration last night about the offering. And he was talking about offering, but it's not. He said then, but it's not just about offering, it's about money. He said, yesterday's act of faith will become today's complacency if we don't grow in God. I'll say it again. Somebody type it in, or a couple of you. Yesterday's act of faith will become today's complacency unless we grow in God. Now, God don't ever want you complacent. I'm not calling you complacent. It was a powerful statement to say, don't become complacent in any part of your life. And we're going to read that right here. You ready? This is going to be so good this morning. Yesterday's act of faith will become complacency unless you grow in God.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. 1 John 4, watch this. Love has been perfected among us in this. I love this. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, some of you are like, Pastor, I don't even like it when you use that word, judgment. Well, stick around and receive communion with us in a little bit, because you're going to understand what the judgment words are all about. All right? But look at what this is. He says the word judgment, but in the last half of the verse, watch what it says. This is why we all have boldness, because as he is, so are we in this world. You got to see it. As he, Jesus, is, so are we right here, right now, in this world. As he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. Some of you are like, and? No, that's the revelation. As Jesus is right now, so are we on this earth. Well, Pastor, how can you say it? Because we are the body of Christ. I know. I saw somebody right then just hold their head and say, this is so much different than church. It is. It is. Because this is what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be bringing you to this wonderful relationship with the Father. And what happens too often in Christianity is we get you say, I need God. You meet somebody that knows God. They take you to their church. And then we hand you the church and say, this is God. And God's in the church. He ordained the building to be built for the purpose of the church. They sing songs that are supposed to be about the creator of the church. They create programs that's supposed to teach you about the church, about God. But then what it ends up being is about the church. And now you're confused. Look at what it says. As he is, so are we in this world. And when you get it, that's not intellectualism. That's why the smartest people in the world miss this, because they try to intellectually understand this revelation. The thing I love the most is the people who get this the most are just the good old boys out there driving a tractor, driving a truck, sitting at a desk, ladies sitting at a desk, being a secretary. Wait, it's not the wise intellectuals that get it. It's the people that say, give me the revelation.
Yeah.
Oh, I get what you mean, Pastor. It didn't come by intellectualism. It came by revelation. Because you sat down with the word and said, show it to me. Say it. Let's go through the word. Somebody shout it. I love the word.
Love the word.
Here we go. Luke chapter 5. yesterday's act of faith will become today's complaint unless you grow, and then it will. If you're looking at every point in your life saying, help me grow today, guess what happens? You grow today. And then when you grow today, you know what? Today's act of faith builds on yesterday's act of faith. Now watch. We're going to talk about Brother Peter today. Everybody say, thank God for Peter.
Thank God for Peter.
We're going to talk about Peter's brother, Andrew. And we're going to talk about the sons of thunder, James and John. Now, you might like, wonder where they got that message from, Pastor. Well, they were fishermen, and they were called the sons of thunder. So what do you think that meant? That probably means that what was going on is them boys were known for fishing in a thunderstorm. Lightning strikes, and they're like, oh, I don't care. Throw the net in, John. We got it, all right? Here we go. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was if I read from my notes today, there's some of it in the King James. So I'm going to read out of my Bible, which means I got to look down, and you get to see the top part of my head, but just stick with me, all right? So it was as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. Why were the people there? To hear the word of God. They didn't have a problem being religious when they went to the synagogue. What was Jesus doing to break that religious crust off their life? He was teaching on the outside, standing on the side of the water. You ready? Then he saw two boats standing out by the lake. Fishermen and God from them, and they were washing their net. One was Peter and Andrew, the other was James and John. 3. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and said to him, can you put out from the land a little bit? I need to talk to these folks. Peter looked at Andrew and said, throw the net in, because look at this crowd. Pretty soon we're going to be overcome here. Yeah. All right. They jump in the boat, they push out. Look at what it says. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Now, why was he in a boat and why was there a multitude? Because Jesus was the only person on the earth at that point that was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he had the ability to heal everyone in the midst. So guess what happened? He healed everyone that was there. And all those people were coming saying, we go to the synagogue all the time. We do all the sacrifices. We do all that stuff. And nobody gets us healed. Our lives are still broken. And so what did Jesus have to do? He had to come out of the synagogue and teach them in a place that was different. And yet give them the answer they were looking for. What they learned in the synagogue was all the ways from Moses clear up to where Jesus was, the Moses, the law, the prophets. That's what they learned. It was all designed for that. But it left them hungry because before John the Baptist, there was 400 years. God did not speak to anyone on this earth. 400 years. I haven't spent one day in our life with God not speaking to the earth. I have been alive since January the 12th, 1963, at 1 o'clock in the morning. All right. I've been on the earth. Every second of my life since I've been on this earth, God has been speaking to everyone on earth. You might say, well, preacher, Brother Samuel, why don't I hear him? Because nobody taught you to hear him. They taught you repent, you foul, wicked sinner, or you're going to hell. Well, that ain't even the message we're supposed to be preaching. Don't throw your Bible at me. Open it up and study. Come on. We're to bring the kingdom to this earth. That's what Jesus said. That's what our assignment is. Go everywhere and break every wicked bondage off of people so their life is free to know who God is. That is our assignment on this earth. Any preacher that tells you something otherwise is telling you something that ain't in the Word of God. Come on, I'll take you on right now. But we're not going to punch each other, but we're going to punch with the Word of God. Why? Because I know what's going on. I've been on both sides of this thing. And you got to be free. Jesus took everybody outside. That's out my sliding glass door right there. What were they doing? They were outside in the elements. He was saying, my Father made all this. My Father did. When he sat in that boat, he was showing them, watch this, I can speak across this water and every one of you here. Right? They followed him all day long. They're hungry. What did he do? Give me some. Does anybody bring a happy meal? And he fed the whole multitude. What is he trying to do? Make everybody go, wow. Did you see that? No. He's trying to show every one of us that our Father is going to supply for everything we need. Get our minds on our Father, and we build a relationship with him. Amen. Wait. Some of you might say, yeah, but preacher, I don't know how to meet God. You ready? It's real easy. Say this with me. Say, God of heaven. And Jesus, his son.
And Jesus, his son.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Come and live in me. I invite you in. Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Boom! There it is. Wait, watch this. See, we try to make this God thing. No, we don't. But some people do. And make it very studious and very philosophical and very sanctimonious. Yes, Simon. That prayer, if you meant it, God just came and started living on the inside of you. He brought to life everything inside of you just like that. You mean, really, preacher? Yeah. Yeah, really. Just, there it is. You're now filled with God. People are looking down like, flex your muscles. You don't look like Thor. You look like Jehovah. Come on, listen. See, God would be wrong to say, be like me, and then not give you the ability to do it. I don't care who you are. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, a farmer, a freak. He don't care who you are. If you'll let him live inside of you and speak to you from the inside out, he's going to cause your life to change. I've seen people in every walk in life. I had a man come to me once, and let's see, I got to be very careful how I tell the story. I had a man come to me once from a city who had a very important position politically in the city. Got to be careful how we tell the story.
Yeah.
You don't know the city, and you don't know the man, so don't try. Hold on, I got to have a drink of coffee to get this out right. And he came and said, I got marriage problems. Can you help me? I said, yeah, I can. And I helped him. And he walked with God. And all of a sudden, all of it made sense to him, and he walked with God. And his political career exploded. And he went farther than he ever thought he would go. Why? Because he just learned God in there. Not out there. He's in here. I'm getting back to reading my Bible now because that's what I told you I was going to do. Here we go. We got Jesus on the boat teaching the multitude, and Peter and Andrew. Listen, Peter and Andrew are the most captive audience there is because they're in the same fishing vessel with him. You know, Andrew's fiddling with a net, and Peter's like, would you please stop it? Listen to the teacher. All right. You know, and then they see a fish jump over there, and they just fished all night and caught nothing. And Andrew's like, Did you see that, Peter? And Peter's like, yeah, I saw it. Well, as soon as he's done, as soon as we're done, maybe we'll drop the net one more time. Come on. Jesus is getting ready to fill their boat with fish. Do you not think every fish in the Sea of Galilee is making their way to the spot where they're going to throw that net in? Right while Jesus is speaking, they hear the voice of the Creator. Oh, this is really good this morning. Does anybody know what verse I'm on? Luke. Somebody say amen or something in the comments so I can see they're still working, because everything just seems to be stopped. Here we go. Watch this. He taught the multitude from the boat. Verse 4. What time is it? Oh, I got to get moving. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, it doesn't say that they've been watching those fish jump out there. That's my own personal thought process about two fishermen sitting in the boat with the Creator in it. Thank you, Lord.
Welcome.
I got to have a good cup of coffee to preach this. Peter said, verse 5, Master, we've toiled all night. We caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll cast down the nets. So they went out where the deep is, whatever that is, how much farther it was. And when they let down the net, they caught such a great number of fish, their net was breaking. Come on. You know Peter and Andrew? They throw them nets down. They're letting them down. Their muscles are flexing. They're letting them down. Now, a fisherman's a tough dude, man. They're tough dudes, especially in that day. They didn't have hydraulics, man. They're doing all this by hand. They're letting the net down. They're letting the net down. And all of a sudden, Peter and Andrew's eyes get about this big around, saying, oh my God. Of course, he's in the boat with them. Oh my God, we got to catch a fish. And you know, fishermen are going to start talking back and forth, saying the lingo, pull that rope, pull that, grab a whole pole. You know, everybody's got a lingo. And they're going after it. And Jesus is standing in the boat smiling, just, And you know, all of a sudden, Peter, he goes, hey, James! John, get your boat over here. I got a question. How can two men in a boat, two people in another boat, and get the fish that's in the water in a net in that other boat? What was that going to do? I don't understand it. Here comes James and John. I don't know. They didn't have an Evan root to start up. They're in the deep. Peter's like, oh, my God, we're going to sink this boat. Yes, God is in your boat with you. Don't you love the word of God? Don't you just love the word of God? Watch this. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so that they both began to sink. Wait, you know what? Whoever was the lead in James and John, and I think Peter was the lead in his boat. You know, Peter was thinking, I knew I should have bought another boat last week. You know what? He might have said to Andrew, I knew I needed to have you and some boys in the boat. Because look it, we got two boatfuls and we're still sinking. We could probably have three. And Jesus is standing in the boat and the fish are jumping. Why? Because when the Creator says fill this boat, guess what he does? The boats get full. I am so far behind in reading that I got to stop teaching and talking the lesson out and just read. Verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Well, that's not what Jesus wanted. You just don't want you. Jesus doesn't ever want any sinner to depart from him. He just wants you to say, well, I need you in my life. Think about it. Peter knelt at Jesus' feet. The demoniac knelt at Jesus' feet. Mary, Mary Magdalene, filled with seven devils, knelt at Jesus' feet. She came and washed Jesus' feet, knelt at Jesus' feet when she washed his hair. The worst people in the whole world in that time came and knelt at Jesus' feet, and he didn't beat any of them. What did he say? I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
It doesn't matter it doesn't matter who you have been or who you are. God wants you. He wants you. Listen, some of you listening to me today, because I know who you are, you'll listen to this in the future. There'll be 300, 400, 500 people listen to this, but before it moves so far down in the line, nobody sees it for again. But listen, I know who you are. I know you've done drugs. I know you got an alcohol problem and you don't want to admit it. I know some of you've been mean. You got a rage problem. You got an anger problem. I know some of you you don't think like you ever felt like you got your life completely together. And I know some of you that feel like your life is all together. It doesn't matter where you are. Add God to it. He fills the boats and he changes everything about you to see and know who he is. And now you have the ability to influence other people to say, wait, well, don't worry about churchianity. Don't worry about religiosity. Just get God on the inside, because then he's walking with you every day. We're in no different of a position right now than Jesus was when he was on this earth. The churches are full of people who know nothing about him. Wait, some of you are listening and you're like, wait, what did he just say? Churches are full of people that know nothing about him. That's why all of you who know me, stick with me. I'm not here to get your money. I'm not building my kingdom. I'm building his kingdom. I want you to know who Jesus is inside of you, because as soon as you know who Jesus is inside of you, you'll be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right things, and every part of your life will revolutionize and change. It don't matter if you're a bow hunter, you'll still be one. It don't matter if you're a Harley rider, you'll still be one. It don't matter if you're a dead fruits and vine person making beautiful beautiful decorations with your dead fruits and vines. It don't matter who you are. You might be a Wall Street king. It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus wants you where you are, reaching that group of people.
Amen.
Just saying, wait. Don't worry about church and religion. You need Jesus. Now watch. I must now read all my verses in order to get this out.
Ready to go.
Do you realize how difficult it is to just read verses when you have such an amazing story like this? I can see it, man. I can see Jesus there just in the boat smiling. Now watch. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed them. Wait, let me just say this. Remember, they didn't forsake all, leave the boats and all the fish on the shore to rot. That is not Jesus, God, or wisdom. They took that. They might have had a bigger team of men that was there with them, because Peter, James, John, and Andrew all left to follow Jesus. But when you go into the history and you study it, this literally established those two fishing businesses into a major fishing company in that region. They were on the seashore, and so the whole city had fish like they never had. All those fish were sold, and the fishing industry changed. Many scholars believe that the fish now came and there was an abundance of fish, and it not only helped them, but it helped every surrounding village with the food. Why? Because Jesus called the fish to the place. That's what he's going to do in your life. Change the whole region financially. Let's get to our next verse. Mark chapter 3. Oh, I'm just really... Here we go. I'm going to turn here and just read. Mark chapter 3. And we're going to verses 13 to 21. And he went up on the mountain. Let's see. Let's go back to verse 7. Sorry about that. We're going to read from 7. I jumped in there and I'm like, well, that's what I saw in my notes, but I want to read 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Edema and beyond the Jordan and Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they would crush him. So Jesus went into the sea a lot of times just for safety's sake. Why? Because when you got the answer, you're going to get crushed. If you were a part of this week's programs with Dr. Barclay, he told that story, how he was in that place, and that lady was free from them chains, and the man grabbed him and said, get in the car. And they sat in the car so that the people wouldn't just trample them because that lady had been set free. And once they got the crowd in order, Pastor went back out, healings, miracles, signs, wonders. The witch doctor got the demon cast out of him. Why? Because somebody saw a miracle. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. For he healed many as they had many afflictions pressed about him to touch him. The unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you're the Son of God. He sternly warned them that they should not make him known. He told them to shut up. Now, 13. When he went up to the mountain, he called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. Got to read it out of this. Verse 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Say this, I am ordained to be with him.
I am ordained to be with him. Amen.
Now he set them out, but what was the first ordination? That they were to be with him. See, all of a sudden, you and I got to say, well, I know where I belong, and that's to be with God and be with Jesus. And wait, they're on the inside of me, and I'm going to be with them from the inside out in my life. Let's keep reading. And that he might send them forth to have power to heal sicknesses, cast out demons. Simon, he surnamed Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, John, the brother, and he surnamed them Bonoja, wow, which is the son of thunder, and Andrew, Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into his house. Jesus had a house. And the multitude came together to them so that they could not eat so much as bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Can you imagine? Jesus is setting all these people free, and their friends came and said, you are messed up, you are beside yourself. He's not beside himself. He's helping people get free.
Yeah.
Watch this. There's all the disciples. Peter, James, John, and Andrew were all disciples. And in verse 14, it says, he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Say it. I'm ordained to be with Jesus.
I'm ordained to be with Jesus.
Let's take another look. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to go through the life of Peter. I got all caught up in that story. I love that story of them on the lake. And I got caught up in it, but we'll just keep it. Watch this. Matthew 17, verse number 1. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Where was the rest of them? Where were the rest of them? Where was Andrew, who was called with Peter, James, and John? Something about Peter, James, and John got them to be with Jesus in many places he went, and they were the three that Jesus called. Why? Because there was something about those men who were determined to be with Jesus and determined to be close to him. And these are the ones that Jesus took with him everywhere he went. Could the rest of them have been there too? Well, yeah. But remember our statement? Yesterday's act of faith will become today's act of complacency unless we are determined to change and grow and develop. Amen? Say it. Help me grow.
Help me grow.
Wait. As soon as you say, help me grow, what's he do? He helps you grow. Why? Because he didn't get camped on one specific revelation of God. They kept going. Look what happened to these guys. He was transfigured before their face. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Look what happens. Peter answered and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, we'll build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter's in the holy, man. He's in the holy of holies. Like, whoa, we're going to build something right here. Let's just stay here. Thank God the rest of the disciples aren't here. I'm just glad we're with you. And Jesus said, well, that's not what it's about. But I brought you up here to reveal this glory to you. Amen?
Amen.
And if you followed it all the way through, you wouldn't have the ability to get it done in 1 hour like I'm challenged with right now. Matthew chapter 26. Now, when I get here, I'm going to check my verses and see if I want to read a little bit more than what I said I wanted to. Matthew chapter 26. And let's go to 26. And as they were eating, this is the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread, blessed, and broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave them, and drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. That's the new covenant. Your sins are placed in remission, and then they're wiped out. They're totally annihilated, never to be remembered another day. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. This night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all of the disciples. Wait, should they have made that statement to Jesus? Most certainly. But every level of your life causes you to reach in and grab a new level of commitment and a new level of I need you, Father, and a new level of setting aside your life to him. Have you noticed that? Say it. Yesterday's act of faith will become today's complacency unless I grab it and grow. See, it doesn't matter if it's just been 6 months that you got yourself sold out to God. 6 months later, there's a new level of commitment that God has brought you to, and what you're doing will become complacency if you don't step to the new level in God, which he's inside of you, powering you to do. Should the disciples have made that statement to Jesus about we're not going to betray? Yeah, they should have made it. Why? They just lived 3.5 years and saw everything that Jesus did. They should have made the statement. But guess what? In the heat of the battle, which was getting ready to come in a couple hours, you got to stick to your guns. Let's keep reading. Matthew 26, and we're going to verse 69. Matthew 26, 69 through 75. Matthew 26, verse 69 through 75. Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and the servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." Well, wait, Jesus get beaten. Peter just watched the Father's not coming to set him free. Peter's watching Jesus not do anything earthly to stop it from happening. So guess what Peter's thinking? I'm going to be next. But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." And when he'd gone to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were with him, "This fellow was Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it. "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of those, for your speech betrays you." And he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever been there with Jesus? Now wait. It doesn't end there. And if you stay there, you're going to live a life of condemnation. Gary Haynes, welcome, brother. Love you. Good to see you with us today. Say it with me. Yesterday's act of faith. Will become today's complacency. Unless I enter in. And then it will all be just an act of faith. Faith then, faith today, faith tomorrow, because that's all it is. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Let's keep reading. John 21. I'm going to get this done, guys. I got 5 minutes, but it's all right. I believe in miracles. John 1, verses 1 through 19. Excuse me. John 21, 1 through 19. And that last reference didn't come through right. It was John, Matthew 26. 69 through 75. All right. Okay, that's cool. I was just letting you know that what I saw.
Yes, I did fix it.
Thank you, love.
You're welcome.
After these things, Jesus showed him, verse 1, Jesus again showed himself to the disciples. Remember, he's risen from the dead and showed him. And where are the disciples now? They're out in the fishing boats. Peter, James and John still had fishing boats. The business is still running. To the disciples of the Sea of Tiberias, and in this, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, of Cana Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were all together. Simon said to them, "I'm going fishing." That's not with a rod and a reel, guys. They said to him, "Well, we're going to go with you." Peter said, "Y'all ain't a bunch of fishermen, but you might as well join us. It'll be good to be out on the water again another day. Watch this." And immediately they got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Come on, you know, brothers, they're going to be like, "You know what, Peter, we spent all night out here. We didn't catch one fish. What did we just do? Spent all night with you?" You know how brothers are. Verse 4, when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any food?" And they said, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." All right. And wait, they didn't say right then it's the master. They should have been able to say, wait. We're talking about throwing a net out again in the same water we just threw the water. Isn't that it? Look at that. So they cast now, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. I just love this story. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and jumped into the sea. Wait, he was probably thinking, I'll bet I can walk on water again. Yeah. Nope, we're not walking, but that's all right. You guys stay in the boat. That's Jesus. Let's go. The other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. All right? They couldn't get it inside. They were having to drag it. All right? As soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire and coals there and laid fish on it and bread. Jesus said, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153 large fish. Say it. Yesterday's act of faith, will become today's act of complacency, unless I grow. And say it. And I'm growing.
And I'm growing.
And I am growing. Wait. This is in your money. This is in your marriage. This is in your mind. This is in the mouth, the words you say. We've got to grow every day. The number one thing you got to grow to keep to be the number one thing you got to do to be able to continually grow is you got to get with a bunch of people who want to grow. Because if you're hanging out with people who don't want to grow in God and are not focused on it, you're going to become stagnant just like them. Wait, they're not bad people. But you got to get with people who in this day want to grow and develop in God. And you might say, I don't even know if I want to be with those people. Listen, the number one person you got to grow with is the people that want to be like our God.
Yeah, amen.
Let's keep reading. Who knows what verse I'm in? Verse 13, Jesus then came and took the bread, gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now watch. So when they had eaten Peter, when they didn't eat Peter. Wait,
that is a whole new story.
Wait, that gives you a whole new revelation about this. We got bigger fish to fry.
That's funny.
Woo! Somebody shout glory or something. Amen, 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 amen. Watch this. 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now watch this. People try to make this some big, amazing, philosophical situation. But watch what happens. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. 16, he said again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to them, he said to him, feed my sheep. 17. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, I feel the anointing coming on. Mm-hmm. I feel that manifest presence of God coming on me right now. It's here, not just for me. It's here for every one of you.
Yeah.
It's here for every one of you. I encourage you to get the communion elements ready because we're going to receive the new covenant worship communion in just a few minutes. And Jesus, Peter was grieved and when he said, do you love him? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying about the death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now watch. All through Peter's life, I just followed Peter. I want you to realize something here. Right alongside of Peter is James and John and Andrew and Bartholomew, all of them. They're all there. But why do we see Peter's life? Because Peter was very serious about, I am going to walk with you. And you know what? Even though Peter denied him at that one point, you may feel today like you denied him at one point. You might say, Pastor, I've never denied him. I can't figure out what's happened at several times in my life because I had a whole bunch of junk happen to me. Yeah. You know why that junk happened? That junk happened because you had the greatest revelation of God you have ever had, and our enemy did everything in his power to stop you from getting that. Watch this. Think about this fact. The only reason the enemy attacks any of us is because of the revelation of the word that's come to us. We studied it last night in our question and answer session, which was a very powerful question and answer session. I encourage you to go. You can see it on Facebook. And later on today, I'll have it all edited, and you'll be able to watch it on YouTube. I'm going to tell you, the Apostle Paul went to heaven, and he came back to earth. And because of the revelation he had, the enemy can see faith on a person because it is recognizable. And so because that level of faith in you rises to a new level, then immediately opposition comes to you. Not because God's letting opposition come. God's given you revelation every day to crush the opposition. But you can't look at God and say, well, God's doing this to me. He's not doing that to you. He didn't make Peter deny him. He didn't. Peter didn't have to deny him. Peter could have said, well, this doesn't look safe. I'm leaving. And gone, stood somewhere else, and still been with Jesus the whole time. And guess what? He never had to deny him. But on the inside of Peter was something that still had to get fixed. Peter didn't go away from Jesus. He just, in that crucial moment right there, said, hey, I don't know him. Why? He was faced with death. He was faced with everything around him. And at that point, he's like, nah. You're just better to shut your mouth and walk away than you are to stand there and say stupid things. Wait, even if you're getting ready to shut your mouth and walk away from a church situation, a religious situation, maybe it's in your job and friends that you've had, you've done everything you're with them, and all of a sudden you realize, these people are not helping me anymore. I got to find a new group. Wait, you might have to build a new group yourself and say, I want you to be with me, but that thing you're doing right there, that will not be allowed at my house another day. I can see a picture of a biker friend of mine right now. I can see you. You know you got to get away from that group of bikers because what they do is not righteous. Well, don't sell your bike and sit in the house on the couch.
Amen.
Keep your bike and invite your friends over with their bikes. And run on the road with your bikes. But tell them, when you run with me, we're not doing the wicked stuff. We're still going to go enjoy life. We're still going to do things. And everywhere we go, we're going to see people's lives change because we show up there. That's an interesting revelation.
Yeah.
Listen to me. That was the gift of the Holy Spirit for you right now, my brother. You know who you are. I'm not going to say your name. I'm not told to say your name. But I am told to make that very declarative statement. And I know I've got a lot of bikers that watch me. Wait, you don't watch. You're here and you enjoy going through life with me. You ain't watching me. Just enjoy going through life with me. I rebuke that old religious way of talking. And the reality is, guys, there's a bunch of them that want to be like you. They just need somebody to stand up and be bold.
Yes, amen. Amen.
And just say it. I'm not going to get drunk another night on Friday or Saturday night and wake up on the next morning with a headache. I'm not going to do that. Let's get together. We'll shoot our bows. We'll shoot our arrows. We'll ride our motorcycles. We'll take the mud trucks out in the woods. We'll go ride horseback. We'll go do whatever you do. But we're not going to go that level. We're going to enjoy our life in God.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to become religious nuts and people that nobody wants to be with. No. But we're going to walk with our God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to watch him take this very thing we love in our life and turn it into something amazing for our God. And that's what you and I see with Peter right here. That's what you and I see with Peter. It's in living color. Jesus didn't have a problem with Peter's fishing business. I believe Peter's fishing business was there his whole life. I believe Peter had an amazing set of employees. This is my own personal belief and my own personal study. I believe Peter's fishing business stayed there his whole life, and he had well-trained employees that ran it and put that money into the kingdom and blessed that whole region because they figured out how to get God inside their business and then begin to influence the whole region. That's why Jesus was sent to that demoniac. Watch this. Jesus was sent to that demoniac who had 1,000 demons on the inside of him. Does that tell you how much power one human spirit can contain? The man was still alive. Can you imagine how much of the power of God you can have on the inside of you? The Father said, I want you to be one with me. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 24. Jesus went there, and when he cast that demon out and set that man free, it opened up all the trade routes right there. Because when you study where that man was, he was at the core of the trade routes, and it was adjusting all the trade of the region. Because people were afraid to go by there. Why? Because the devil wanted to control all the trade that was going on in that region. And God, the Father, sent Jesus, cast the devil out. And guess what? All the trade no longer went to China. It came back to America. Somebody say amen or something.
Amen.
Thank God for President Trump. He did a lot of things because our prayers were behind him. Guess what? Right now, you and I got to still pray for America and rebuke China taking over this nation. You still got to do it. Wow! Some of you are like, Pastor, don't go to politics. This ain't politics. This is the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. He's going to send us to trade route areas and say, no more devil. He's going to cause you to go right in the center of things in your community and stop it because you're filled with his spirit. You got the power of God in your life, and you're going there speaking every day. I declare this does change. Wait, I said it this week. If you live in a state capitol, you better be finding yourself going down there around that capitol building all the time and circling it and just speaking life and declaring life and life more abundantly. There's no demon that can overcome us.
Amen.
No demon can stop your words, but our words annihilate their words. The problem is we stop saying our words, or we got to be seen publicly of doing something big so everybody thinks we're something big. No, just do the work, whether anybody sees you or not. Glory be to God. Yesterday's act of faith will become today's complacency unless we grow. Say with me, I'm growing.
Growing.
I'm growing. That's the greatest thing that happened to me in 2020 is I said about my life, there will be no more complacency. Not another day. We both said it. It don't matter. We're entering in. We're entering in. We are entering in, and anybody who wants to enter in can enter in with us. And we're glad you're here entering in. You ready? Let's get our communion elements and receive them. I said it a minute ago. God just downloaded a message inside of me. I can preach all afternoon, but I can't do that. I'm not sitting by a lake.
Yeah.
I would have to go and sit by a lake. Gary Haynes, it's good to have you with us, man. It's good to see you. It's good to see you're on fire and in faith and chasing God, man. It's good to see it, brother. I love you and love your fire for God. Let's pray. Father in Jesus, everybody pray this prayer with me. Father in Jesus' name.
Father in Jesus' name.
Thank you for the life we see in Peter.
Thank you for the life we see in Peter.
He turned to you.
He turned to you.
And he never stopped following you.
And he never stopped following
you. And that's who I am.
Right.
I turn to you, Jesus.
I turn to you, Jesus.
And I will never stop following you.
I will never stop following you.
I thank you for the new revelation.
I thank you for the new revelation.
That I get to be one with you.
That I get to be one with you.
And I am really glad about that. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Remember that time in Jesus' life when it says that at that point the disciples and went back and never followed him again?
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened that day? Jesus looked at Peter and said, if you can, will you add that verse? Oh, find that verse for me and add that to the notes. He looked at Peter and said, or he looked at the disciples and said, are you guys leaving too? And Peter said one of the most profound statements of his life. He looked at Jesus and said, where do we have to go? There's no other place to go. Only you have the words of life. That's a profound statement. That's a very profound statement. And you and I today can say, I don't have any other place to go, Jesus. Only you, have the words of life. And that's why we're here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Receive these communion elements with us right now in Jesus' mighty name. Some of you, I got to say this. Some of you have been afraid to receive communion with me. Because you've been so trained in religion that you can only take it inside a church building. I encourage you to sit here and listen right now. And receive the revelation that's getting ready to come in here. Hear this statement. If you are a member of the body of Christ, then you can receive the broken body of Christ anytime it's given, anywhere. Time. There are no restrictions on communion in this book except that you be a believer. Drop the religious indoctrination and get you some bread and water if you don't have juice. Get you a Cheez-It and your Coke and sit down with us and receive these communion elements right now. I love it. I just saw one of my brothers get his family together and say, now you listen to what he's saying right now. It's good, brother. You might not even understand it all yet, but you know it's right. Just do it. Watch this. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it and he said, take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus said to the disciples, Passover stops here. New covenant of my blood starts now. And he gave them the example. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work till he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, let us, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You have that boldness because you're going to judge yourself by the leadership of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who live inside of you. Look what it says. Because as he is, Jesus, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. The communion service is one of the greatest acts of love from our Father through Jesus. And it should be the time of the greatest love inside a church building. And there's no fear in it. There's no reason to be afraid. Lena Sandstrom, all the way from Norway. That's another one. You're another one of those people, Lena, that when we see you, we all go, glory be to God. You have a lot of folks that love you here in the United States of America, Lena. Watch this. The communion elements and the communion service should be one of the greatest acts of love from God you have ever felt. Maybe you say, Pastor, I totally failed. I can't take communion. Are you kidding me? When you fail, that's what you do is take communion. I remember a point in my life where there was nothing else working. I said, if it don't work today, then what are we doing? The blood isn't efficacious, to use a big word. The blood isn't efficacious on the days when everything's going right. It's the most efficacious, the most effective when everything's going wrong. Your heart isn't against God. Your heart is for him. Receive these elements and rebuke all that fear and confusion that the spirit of religion has placed inside of the communion services in church. Child of God, Jesus suffered all of this so you can be free from all condemnation and fear. Of course, he wants you to receive those elements. And on the day of judgment, because you learn to judge yourself like this every day, you'll walk into that judgment seat of Christ shouting glory, hallelujah. I took everything that I learned on that earth. I became the greatest thing that I could have possibly been. And when you come up before Jesus, there won't be no fear in you. Why? He's your elder brother. You live with him every day. And you'll walk into that judgment throne ready, because you will have already judged yourself severely on this earth, saying, no, I'm walking with God. 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 In Jesus' name. Isn't it something how God has put us together with so many people all over the earth?
Yeah.
I don't even know how Lena come to know us. I don't know it. Man, who knows? And I don't know how the other brother, I can't even say his name. What was he? Masin? It was here to be. I don't know even know how he knows me. See, this is the love of God saying, let me spread this love all over the whole world. You ready? Let's receive these communion elements together. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in every part of my life.
I know I need you in every part of my life.
And I want you there.
And I want you.
According to John chapter 1.
According to John.
When I believe in you, Jesus.
When I believe in you, Jesus.
You give me the power.
You give me the power.
To become a child of God.
To become a child of
I
God.
I believe in you, Jesus.
I believe in you.
And
Jesus.
I receive you right now.
You
as
right
my
now,
Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah. Look at it. Close your eyes and just picture yourself hugging Jesus right now. Picture Jesus hugging you. Now say this. Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word
Pray
of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. There it is. You're in the kingdom. You're one of us. In that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. In that one prayer, you went from fear to faith. In that one prayer, you changed kingdoms. The kingdom of this earth to the kingdom of our God. You are now adopted into the family of God. You're one of us. We're family. We're family. We're family. That's our sister, Lena, from all the way around the world. Oh man, it's amazing. All the way from Norway. I feel like shouting, hey, Brother Summerall, he's in heaven going, I know, I'm watching. Get busy, do something. My email address, the website's there. Any way we can help you walk with God, we're going to do it. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Hold your elements up. We're going to bless them and receive them together. Pray this from the depths of your heart. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus'
name. I bless these elements. For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
And Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement.
The chastisement.
For my peace.
For my peace.
Is on you, Lord.
Is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
By your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
Right here, right now.
Right here and right
in
now.
Every part of my body.
In every part of my life.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. That the Bible says for the joy that was set before you. We are your joy. That we avail ourselves to this fills you with joy and fills us with joy. Lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
All things of my life.
And all things of my life.
have become new.
Have become new.
Mm. Wow. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague
has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I purge my conscience. Just back up. I got so many things happening on the inside of me right now. Ready? Let's get the words right. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
Brethren,
it's cast down in my life.
And
there is no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always
the glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I'm telling you, during that time of communion, I saw all this stuff. I saw you and I, community of faith, just ministering all over the United States. I saw us in Norway ministering with Lena. I saw it. I saw Brother Tanvir. I saw Julian and Mala. I've never even seen these people physically. Except for the picture in their little thing, I wouldn't even know who you are. But I saw it because the love of God that's in us needs to get spread all over the whole world. Thank you for being a part of this today. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I don't know what else to say except I love you guys. I got to go. Because this is supposed to be 1 hour of faith. Please come and be with us every day. God wants us to minister life and grace and health and strength and peace to you. So come and be with us. We're on here 7 days a week. The community of faith is here 7 days a week. Why? Because Jesus is with us 7 days a week. People need God 7 days a week. Pastor, don't you know that that's impossible? It wasn't for Jesus. Wait, it wasn't for Jesus, and he'd have 25,000 people every day following him. It wasn't impossible. He didn't have a bus. He didn't have a cell phone. He couldn't text, email, or be on the internet.
He didn't have time for any of that, really.
And listen, and he never sent him to Burger King for lunch. We've only got three examples. Watch this. We've only got three examples of Jesus feeding the multitude. That's all we got. But you got to know it happened on a regular basis because that's how Jesus was. John said, if everything Jesus did while he was on this earth was written, there wouldn't be enough ink and enough books. And he wants you and I to do it too. And so, I just say to everybody that's here, remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord. You can see this replay of this in Facebook. You can see it on YouTube. And you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio. If you know people that are in an area where they can't get Facebook or YouTube to go because their internet's not good enough, have them hook up to us with Blog Talk Radio. Because it works on Blog Talk Radio too. Lena, whatever's happening where you are in Norway. Oh, I felt this earlier this week. I declare right now that this plan that God's given you for business and for your life, I declare the revelation knowledge of Almighty God comes to you and you understand it. We put our faith with you right now in Jesus' name that the understanding of the knowledge of God comes to you. And you see it. And the doors open. And your life changes. And grows and develops beyond anything you've ever seen. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. For all of those of you that we don't see, because you come on later, click the like button. So when we go back and look at this, we can pray for you by your name. Because we do that every day. What a deal we got going on. Because we're walking with God.
Yeah.
In Jesus' mighty name. All right. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. See you soon.